hear that okay?
Yep. Okay.
Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
I know, that's right.
Yay. Clap for me.
What?
And okay, just like that, we are back for another episode of The B. Scott Show podcast. Tonight, we have a full house. I have my regular team, Denver and Dominique and Walker and Brian. Hello, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey. And then I have a special guest, Richie's Sky, if I'm saying that correct. I don't know whether I want to call you, because your Instagram name says DJ Richie Sky. So, like, what do you go by? Like, how would you like for me to refer to you?
Either or works. I mean, I used to DJ, but Instagram, once they verified my account, it wouldn't let me change it to just Richie Sky. So I got to keep the DJ on there.
Okay. Yeah, because when I first met you, I think you were bartending.
Yes, I was serving at St. Felix in West Hollywood.
Yeah, I walked in. I said, who is this tall, light-skinned man with pretty eyes? I said, oh, my.
Thank you for being so nice back then. I appreciate that.
Aw, yeah, I try. You caught me on a good day. But I am really proud of you and the name that you have made for yourself. I see that you are, doing some hosting things in DC on a morning show. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I get the opportunity to just kind of come on to Good Day DC, talk celebrity news and entertainment whenever they need me. It's fun. It's light. I love it. I feel like it keeps me sharp. So it's nice to do.
Yeah. So that's a good segue into what I want to start the show off with, because you're now in the DC area, correct?
Yes,
I am. And the Housewives of Potomac are coming back, and that trailer was something else. So I think Brian has it.
One thing you learn about living in Potomac, it's a town of smoke and mirrors. Never know who you can trust.
Where are your poo-poo?
It's been through worse.
I should be able to show my pubic hair.
Right.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I gotta go.
Where is the craziest place that you have ever had sex?
This is the craziest place.
Waffle House bathroom.
Well, I'll be damned.
Mia is a boss. She's a breath of fresh air.
I just like to have a good time no matter what we're doing.
Jiminy crickets.
I didn't grow up with all of it.
I earned it.
I was in the foster care system.
So sheer mom gave you up.
They came and took me.
What did my dad do?
It's what he didn't do.
I wanted you to come save the day.
Decisions that were made best for you.
How's this gonna look with the rest of them? Because it's so much smaller.
That's okay. Give it a chance to grow up. You were smaller when I married you. Who is that?
Good morning, handsome.
Let me see. Let me see.
I'll find her.
I just can't imagine having like sex.
Yeah.
It's harder than I thought.
Chris is managing me.
Seven. Yeah. Look, throw. Yes.
I take care of all your shit all day long.
Shut up.
I've been like unmotivated lately.
Robin, you gotta get out the bed. Go all right. Do something.
All right.
You cannot have your fine husband telling you unattractive.
Jamona having a pandemic long distance relationship is not working.
Honey, you got dragged. Then you let him back in and he dragged you again.
You are tired. You can't give me 100%.
Are you happy? Are you fulfilled?
No.
So when are we gonna talk about the Eddie rumors?
What Eddie rumors?
What you're not going to do is you're not going to play with my husband's name.
Everyone knows. That's why we went to Sing Sing.
What Sing Sing?
We don't need no f***ing moment. Shut the f*** up. I want Ray to pay his bills.
Are you talking to me?
I see you for everything everybody ever said that you were.
I don't give a s***.
These motherf***ing cameras. I will light your ass up.
It's enough drama.
Mm. That is a lot to kind of, you know, process. And I will just say this. I, and with the first couple of seasons of Potomac, I was not into it. But now I really feel like Potomac is coming for the crown.
I think so too.
Potomac's coming for the girls. Like, they really come for the girls. Like, because, and one of the reasons why they're coming for the girls is because everybody has a significant other. Like, we need more depth. It just can't, you know what I mean? We need to see what's going on in their lives and for it to be real. Like, the Housewives of Atlanta, a lot of the girls didn't have a man. You know, we need men. We need husbands.
Okay, Juan Dixon saying, get up and do something, was more entertaining than the entire season of Atlanta. He said, can't you get up and do something? I said, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Not Juan. You can't piss off Juan.
No.
Like, not fine-ass Juan. You can't do that.
So you were friends with... Monique, correct?
Yes,
or no?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you feel about her not being on the season? How is she feeling about not being on the season? What's the word on the street about that?
Well, you know, honestly, I think that everybody's not meant to do a specific type of reality TV. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I feel like with Housewives, it takes a special type of person to exhibit a special type of character for that franchise. And I don't think that that's Monique. I think that Monique came into this really genuinely wanting to be, you know, herself and to show her life. And I don't think she was prepared for the politics of a show like that. And so for me, as her friend, just knowing who she was, it was hard for me to see her go through that and have the audience perception of her be what it was. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so getting to know her, and I got to know her through my best friend, Riley, who is her best friend. So it's kind of only natural that we would, you know, come together in that way. I just thought to myself, you know what? I don't want you to go back to this because there's nowhere else for you to go. It's not going to work in your favor if you go back. And I just feel like even if you have a redemption arc, that could also be taken away as well. So for me, I was just like, I told her, I said, I don't think you should go back. So when she,
you know,
when she made that decision, I was like, you made the right decision.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And I will say that I've never seen anyone read the way that she read the girls at the reunion. She put out that binder and she got to work. I did find it really interesting that during the trailer, once again, Candace is in the middle of altercation.
I know. I know. I.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, they made Monique out to be the bad guy. And, you know, Candace was crying all the time. And, you know, and I definitely have a bone to pick with Candace. Like, it is a bone to pick because I gave her the room and space to come on the show. Her team said that she was going to do certain things as far as promoting the episode. And I heard nothing. It was crickets.
Oh, wow.
And it was like pulling teeth just to get her on the show.
Absolutely. And I gave her the space because I gave Monique the space. I wanted Candace to have the space.
Right.
And just so you know, so will any love muffin listen to the show? Yes, I have an issue with Candace. B. Scott has an issue with Candace.
Hold on, B.
And that means that B got an issue. I got an issue.
You say what?
Think it's a whole thing or a team thing?
I don't know. It was just, it's a stank thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, because I added her on Instagram and on Twitter. And it's like you don't not see me.
And we were told that it was going to be going up at any moment several times.
Yeah.
So
that's shocking to me.
Yeah, it's weird. I think that what happened is that, you know, people were leaving comments and was saying that I was laughing about what had happened to her. And what happens on podcasts a lot of times is that, you know, me and, you know, Denver and, you know, other cast members, I mean, other people on the show, like we, you know, I could be laughing at how the question was set up. I could be laughing, you know, to myself about something else. I was not laughing about her physical altercation. I think altercations are, you know, very serious and people could have gotten hurt.
Right.
That's number one.
Correct. We're very equal opportunity laughers over here.
Absolutely.
We laugh at everything.
I get to giggle and I get to giggle.
It don't matter. It don't matter.
You know, but that's why I think that, you know, the Vulture article that came out was really, it really was good because it showed how you know, housewives now, after years of me doing what I've been doing, are now looking for bloggers, looking for people in media to establish relationships with. Mm. And the last thing you want to do if you're a person in Candace's position where you're still trying to find footing on a show, is to offend somebody that, you know what I mean, has the respect of a lot of people that you would want to respect you and interact with you and like you. And
correct. And I also think it was a notice to networks to stop trying to fight it.
Correct.
And just embrace it, because ultimately it's going to help the wives, it's going to help the franchise as a whole. And that's just kind of where we are. Well,
yeah, it's going to make people watch.
You know what's interesting to me, and I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but I mean, it seems sometimes seems like you'll definitely see some of these, some of the women doing some of the white podcasts or, you know, interview stops. And I feel like for me, especially knowing how long you've been in this business, this is one of those stops on your promotional trail that you have to do. And the thing that I think bothers me the most about them not doing it is that in order to exist in the housewives space, there are some housewives who are successful because they get it. And when I say they get it, they don't take what people say about them too seriously. And I feel like that's an issue that Candace sometimes has, is that she takes the things that people say about her behavior personally. And you can't do that.
And also what you cannot do too is you cannot be the person that has a whole lot of mouth and you're saying these things and hitting below the belt and don't expect at some point, you know, just like what happened on the seat on the trailer. Like there's no coincidence that she's now involved again throwing something. I think she was throwing some food or something.
Some salad at
the new castmate. So it's like you I think people are starting to see that Candace may be a part of the problem or the problem, because if you keep having those type of physical interactions with other people, because I think she had a dust up with Ashley too, right? Didn't she have something in her hand?
That was the whole butter knife waving and she tossed the knife at her.
Exactly. And Ashley is actually like me, because I'm that type of bitch. What I do is I will piggyback on something when I need to get my point across. And that's exactly what she did. She piggybacked and helped Monique in her court case. I said, come on, Ashley. And that's when I started following Ashley, because I was like, "You move in the way I would move. You know, you gotta outthink."
Let me show my weight over here.
And then they asked her about it. She's like, "What do you mean? Like, okay, yeah, I didn't know."
Well, asked me to, so I did.
And then, you know, I think the whole Giselle has been giving me. Giselle has always given me very flat.
Mm. You know,
you know what? I love Giselle. You know why? Because she's shameless. Like, she doesn't really have anything going for her. And so she'll just, you know, say whatever, ask whatever. Like, she just does not care.
The only thing that Giselle has going for her is just like, you know, it's just how, unfortunately, in our society, especially in the Black community, people like Giselle, they do get a pass. You know, she's a stereotypically beautiful woman in our community. It's what we think. You know, a lot of people in our community think is pretty. You know, she is fair skinned. She has light eyes. If we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it. And that's the truth. And to me, if Giselle did not look the way she looked personality wise, there's no way she should be sitting in the chair next to Andy.
She wouldn't have made it. Correct. She wouldn't have made it on there.
No. And I definitely
like
agree.
A great value, Vanessa Williams.
You took it right out of my mouth, Denver.
Look similar, you know, Williams. But half the flavor.
Just on neutral.
No, you know.
Put the car in fucking
just around.
You know, drive or reverse. Give me something. You know.
You know, I was riding with her until she sat up on that damn stage and she just totally denied everything that her husband was doing. And I'm like, girl, like, it's clear as day. Like, what are you defending here? Are you that embarrassed?
She wasn't ready for that.
And also, too, I think that something was not missing. Something was missing. Because the last thing someone is going to do is, you know, bring out some damn receipts on me. And then I'm going to confirm the number. That's some dumbass shit.
Yeah, that's it.
Then you're going to lie or just, like, admit it.
She's like, yep, that's it. Yep, that was it. Like, what the fuck? I would have been like, no, I don't recall.
He has several. He has several
numbers. I mean, I don't know.
Y'all know. You know what that reminded me of? It's what? Like when you get in a fight and somebody's so quick and they go bap, bap, bap. You don't know mm-hmm. where the fucking hit came from. You just like turn to a hit. Like, that's what that reminded me of.
And it's funny to see too that, you know, Dr. Wendy was riding for Giselle mm-hmm. and supporting Giselle. And now you see in this trailer that Giselle is doing to her what she did to Monique. She's talking about her husband, right? Yep. Ed is her husband, right? Yep.
And I'm not even surprised. And I said it at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. I said, as soon as I saw her riding for her at the reunion, I said, she's going to do exactly what she's doing to Monique. She's going to do it to you. It's either going to be Candace or Wendy as the target next season. And what do you know? It's Wendy.
Absolutely. And she was saying, she's like, I'm about to, what'd she say? What was the comment? Which is, I'm about to tear this up.
I don't know what Eddie's doing, first of all.
And Eddie said he's not happy.
I want to know.
Ed, whatever his name is, she said he's not happy. So,
I mean, I'm glad somebody got to it.
But it had to be Giselle. Like, why does it have to be Giselle, you know, getting in other people's marriages when she's been played so much by a minister in Atlanta?
That's what I'm saying. She's shameless. She does not. She just, like, she has nothing
else
minister.
To do. She got played by a minister.
Her daughter's already embarrassed.
Right.
Well, she got played by him twice.
Mm. And that's what Karen said in the thing, right? She was talking about her relationship. She was saying, like, he already dragged you. Then you went back to him and he dragged you again.
And she started crying. She sure did.
How you let a man make you a fool across two different decades?
Ooh. I cannot.
Like, that's crazy. That is crazy.
So what is the word in the street with that? Like, are they still together?
Well, word on the street is that they were never really together, to be quite honest with you, and that it was really just fodder for the show. And, you know, okay. I feel like over the course of the past year, he's kind of alluded to as much. If you look at the things that he's been allegedly saying and texting with, you know, other women and stuff like that. So I just feel like no self-respecting woman would really stay with a man in that type of situation with everything that's out, the whole facts that's out in the streets about him. No woman would do that.
And it just shows you too that no matter how beautiful you are or how other people perceive you as beautiful, if you don't value yourself, you're going to end up in situations just like Giselle.
Mm. Thank you.
And there's no way that, you know, that I could, you know, be in the situation that where I was publicly humiliated by a unattractive man that happened to be a minister multiple times. And have the nerve to be in other people's marriages. I just don't get it. I don't know how the girls let her get away with it. Because, I mean, it seemed like she is the one that should be in the physical altercations. Because if you come at me about my husband and you have an old nasty scallywag that kind of looks like R. Kelly. Not R. Kelly. No, which one is it? Which one was the Two Live Crew guy?
Uncle Luke.
You know what I'm talking about?
Uncle Luke.
He looks like that. Uncle Luke. He looks like Uncle Luke. It had evaded me for a long time. Uncle Luke was the one that's pissed about not being in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Looked. I said, Lord have mercy, it might be brothers. So it's a lot going on. I mean, I just think that this show is giving me what I need. And then the new girl, I'm sitting here looking at, I'm on Bravo's site right now. I'm on bravotv.com and I'm looking at it, and I see the new girl, and I just am struck by all the work that she has done.
You know, to that face is filled. That face is filled.
You know what?
She looks Asian. Like, I mean, is she Asian?
You know what she gives me though? Mm-hmm. She gives me very open about it though.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what it's going to take to be successful on this show. Is you're going to have to be open about whatever it is that you've either done. Or what's going on?
She's gonna have to come on the show.
Life.
I need to talk to her about that.
Okay.
Because what's happening is, like, you know, it's a balance that you got to do.
Right.
Like, you know, as you get older, you know, is people know that you know, the fat in your face kind of depletes. It absorbs. It goes away. I don't know where the fuck it goes. It's just not in your face. And so you get fillers to kind of fill in some of that. But if you get too much filler, it starts making your eyes slant up.
Mm-hmm.
So she looks like her eyes is like she. I don't believe that she's Asian, and I mean, I might be correct. Correct me if I'm wrong, but she looks Asian.
She's stretched out.
Is she not?
No, I don't think she. I don't think she's Asian.
Kimora Lee. Is she not a Kimora Lee?
I don't think she's Asian.
No,
I thought she was a Kimora Lee.
I mean, I don't know what she looks. She just looks snatched up. It just looks like she looks like she went and got the Kardashian special.
Look at the girls over in Beverly Hills, though. Like, they are all about it. They straight up come on the TV with their nose brace on, fresh off the table, and like, what?
That's true.
And I love it. And shout out to Kyle Richards. And that nose looks good, too.
No, but you got to get it the right way. I don't love all of it, Denver. You got to have it the right way. Some people take it too far.
Oh, no. No. I'm saying I love that they are just brazen with it. They don't try to hide it.
She looks good. I mean, she looks pretty good. You know what I mean? You know, it's just, I think there's good work and there's bad work. And we just got to get to understanding what's happening with the new girl. And so what is the information on the new girl? Who is she and what does she do?
Well, Richie, do we know? She is definitely a boss. I will tell you that. I mean, from what I can gather, I mean, business-wise, she's legit. She's done it on her own. She's got a man who's, I think, about 32 years older than her.
Ooh, spicy. So, older. Okay, but no. Okay. 32 years means that, okay, it's time for you to sleep.
But you know what I like, though? I like her energy. You know what I'm saying? It's effervescent. Mm-hmm. I feel like they needed that after the season that they had last season. Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited to see the new energy. Like, what are they going to bring us this season? And I feel like she was the right type of person to get.
Mm-hmm. And then Karen is her only issue that seems people seem to have with Karen is that her husband owes some money to people. And that's what Giselle brought up, right?
She's and like, she'd be lying about everything.
And she and Karen, people say that Karen be lying.
Karen lies about everything, but it's like,
you know what
stuff.
It is though? Karen brings confusion, chaos and confusion. And I'm kind of here for it.
Mm-hmm. I'm here for it. It's like
she knows it. She knows it.
Yeah. Like the when she co-signed Monique's read and that was a slam dunk. She did the alley-oop.
Is Jamal coming?
Like, boom. That was it. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Of course not. So good. And I see that, you know, Ashley just had her second baby. Mm-hmm. And all that's going on. Her, I mean, I love her. I would say that. I would love her. Love her personality. Her husband, on the other hand, is a bit much.
I'm sick of him.
He gets the drinking, he gets the loud talking, and I love it.
You know, I think Ashley, she just, she made her choice. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
She made her choice, and she's comfortable with it, and she will ride it out until she just can't any longer.
See, the thing is, what you cannot do is what Fallon did. You can't pull a Fallon. Hello? You can't secure the bag, then fumble the bag.
Oh, my God.
If you make a choice,
you either get with the shits.
Yes. If you make the choice, if you sold your soul, you already knew from the beginning. Fallon, when she married Simon, knew that this was a very unattractive man and that the reason why she was with this unattractive older man was for the money. Anybody can see that. So don't do, there's no way that I would be leaving any type of situation when I already made the decision and sacrificed myself, my time, a portion of my youth for an ideal situation.
Correct. You got to run the play you called.
Right.
That print is sealed up like a casket, okay? And that's why he just moves from marriage to marriage, because that's what the girls sign up for. They know they're not getting shit. Mm. So how do you parlay that? Relationships? I'm not leaving that with nothing. Like, I don't know. I don't know what she got, but, you know, she
would have my thing would have been, there is only a few cases that this happens, but it does happen where you can break the prenup. I would have, the moment that I signed the prenup, I would be working with an attorney to break it. I would figure out, what do I need to do to break it? Do I need to have multiple kids? Do I need, like, what does he know? He needs to beat me. Like, what? I mean, I'm trying to figure out, like, what do I need to do to get this back?
Do you think she didn't know what she was really getting herself into?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think that happens a lot.
I'm going to tell you something about Fallon, right? So for the little time that I got to hang out with her, I really got, like, some people are really just not evil spirits and they're very fresh and green. And I could see her going into that marriage, not really being that type of bitch. Like, oh, I'm here to scheme. Kind of like Portia, right? We know what Portia is there for. Like, she does not make any kind of, we know what you're doing, girl. I don't, Fallon doesn't strike me as that person. So I would honestly say that. Like, I don't see it. And then, as a result, now she's leaving with nothing. that, you know.
Yeah, so just, I can see that. I mean, I think the publicity kind of got to her. Mm. I think that there are certain things you can hide when you're kind of flying under the radar. But once, like, you and your man are on Front Street and people start to talking, and I think that if you're not equipped to deal with it, or you were trying to live a life where you could just ignore it, once everybody talks about it, you really can't.
I think
that started to come up a lot.
These internets, Denver. These internets is lethal, okay?
The internet is lethal, okay. But also I think that the video that we watched, no matter when it was from, the video of her proposing to someone.
In a bowling alley.
It says a lot about her mental state.
Bowling shoes.
Yeah, she was in a bowling alley in a bowling shoe. And she proposed.
She's very upfront about that. She'll tell you off the rip. She'll tell you, like, you know, she has been through a lot. She's been abused. She's been, you know, sexually, physically abused. That would really fuck somebody up. And that's what she leads with her whole philanthropic movement as that, you know, when she was doing the whole housewife thing. I said to her flat out, so what do you do? I was expecting her to say, oh, I got like a boutique or something, because that's what they do out there. So,
and you know, as far as Porsche's concerned, you can kind of see that she has been, all her situations have been trying to secure the bag. I mean, she was with Cordell for that. And then she, you know, and Cordell, I mean, it's very obvious to me the situation that exists with Cordell. And then especially after I saw the leaked photos of him and how he was tooting things up.
I forgot about that.
What he did with that?
He did.
I said, Cordell could teach me how to do it, you know.
Listen, Cordell's my friend, and he too was smart enough to have a really
run that back. What you say now?
Yeah, okay, back up.
Back it up. Like a U-Haul truck.
Okay, so I moved to Atlanta, and Cordell and I became friends, and we kind of tested the energy to see if that was there. It was like right after he got divorced.
Hold on. Brian, drop the exclusive.
A.B. Scott.
Exclusive! No,
okay, and then wait a minute. So I'm confused. So, okay. I thought you speak lesbianese.
Yeah, I mean, I speak humanese. I've been engaged to a man and I've been engaged to a woman. You know, and at that time, like, he's
and
just
Cordell,
a really-
Cordell was not that man you were engaged to, but you test the water.
No, not at all. I was engaged to an Italian Korean that went to Stanford and played ball. Okay, that last.
The question is, did Cordell toot it up for you?
Was he waters too? What waters were you testing?
You
didn't toot it up? Okay.
Stop it. I got recruited.
You got recruited?
Recruited?
See, y'all gonna make me, like, throw my computer. Listen, I got recruited to play lingerie football out there for Atlanta, but I ended up
okay,
not
wait
doing
a minute,
it.
And wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, hold on. Dominique.
Where's my
it's
wine?
Too, it's too many revelations that's coming out from you tonight. Ma'am.
Start drinking.
Ma'am. Yes. I mean, it went from worse to this is a slippery slope down fuckery lane. You got recruited to play lingerie what now?
So every city has a lingerie league, right? So remember the girl that was fighting with Evelyn, the African chick? I don't remember what her name was from.
She was in the league.
Yes. So remember she was twerking on bitches' heads, like when she like made a touchdown.
That was you. You were in that too.
No. They couldn't pay me, so I'm not tackling anybody. I'm not getting tackled. So I started to do that.
I'm about to hit with a thank you for your services.
I'm gonna
hit you with a shiny. It's been real. Thank you. Okay, Brian, cut her mic. Okay.
I definitely exited.
Just playing. Left.
They couldn't pay me. And I'm not doing that. But anyway, Cordell was, he's a really cool guy. He like got into some vulnerable moments, just, you know, but I could tell from his conversation that his prenup was pretty solid and he, you know, scooped up his son and got the hell out of there and, you know, was totally like, yeah, she gone. She doing her own thing. I'm doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was kind of trying to see what can happen. He was testing the energy. But in my mind, I'm like, sir, you don't want this. I just felt like he didn't want it. And neither did I, to be very honest, but he was a cool dude. I wasn't getting that energy from him. You know, that's and good. Atlanta is that place want? To Right. Like guys just, you know, I don't know, Denver, speak to this out in Atlanta, how it is with the guys like that. like the whole tree. Can y'all explain tree to me?
Now, Debra, she going to put you in the hot seat.
Atlanta, tell us. Can somebody explain trade to me? Because I want to be able to have the best understanding of what trade is.
Oh, not asking them about trade.
I was say, I don't know if I can understand. Listen, I still can't understand it. I've experienced it.
I'm so confused.
I mean, with trade, basically, the fundamental basic definition of trade is this basically a person that comes across, for all intents and purposes, as a straight, heterosexual, black guy. I mean, I think it's in the context of people of color mostly. I mean, there can be white trade, but would, you know, get down in a very different way under the right circumstances.
Mm. Very eloquently stated.
Okay. Like gay for pay. Gay for pay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm glad you said that because.
Yeah. So, I don't know whether Cordell is trade because Cordell is very obvious.
That video, I don't know.
you would have to be blind to miss that. But moving on from Cardell and Dominique's, you know, revelation, getting the show back on track after she derailed it right into the lingerie league.
Okay, with the panty league.
The panty league. Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Oh my goodness, the panty league. I got the panty league up on the show. Jesus.
Fun birthday party
and then the second guy she was with is the same thing. Like, you know, like I think that she thought that he had some money somewhere and he turned out to just be selling some hot dogs.
And this is more excited about
now
this.
He's with, I mean, the crazy thing about that, the only thing that really kind of struck me the wrong way, not the only thing, but the main things was that when I saw the photo and they were all in the photo together as if he done passed her off to somebody else. I said, now y'all need to stop.
Isn't that what it looked like?
It did.
It looked like it was just pass the baton.
Pass the baton. He was like, thank God I don't have this headache no more. Like, thank you, Jesus.
It's time
I'm going to pay my child support.
I mean, the rumors are, you know, Dennis is very open-minded too. Ooh. So,
I got
who's
that.
To say?
Mama said I was pretty girl. Okay. Well, Housewives of Potomac is coming back. They are shaking the table. I'm excited to see it.
July 11th.
When is it? June 11th?
July 11th. July. And it's a July supersized 11th. Episode too. 75 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh. I am hearing that they are trying to figure out with Housewives of Atlanta, they're trying to figure out some new talent. And
they definitely need some fresh faces.
Yes. It was funny because somebody tried to run exclusive about that very obvious, obvious right. information, which is that Atlanta Housewives needs some new people. You know what I mean? It's like, it was like exclusive. The sky is blue. I was like, okay. How unfortunate.
Okay, girl.
But yeah, so I think that it needs to be, I think Atlanta needs I really do, and I stand by this. I just don't think they're going to pay the money. They need like a Robin Givens, like they need a big shake up.
I would like to see that. I've also been saying, and I know some people might disagree, but I would like to see Kiki Wyatt back on reality television.
Oh my God, Kiki's so crazy.
I don't know if we can deal with that. I think that would give me a breakdown. I would have a nervous breakdown. I mean, just seeing, like, she's just so all over the place. And then there was something that she said not too long ago that rubbed me the wrong way. What was it, Denver? She was doing some type of interview and she said
something about the
Life Matter shit. She said, well, hell, my white life matters to some ignorant shit. And the internet definitely.
Well, her mom was always saying some stuff.
Yeah. She stepped right into that.
See, but I feel like sometimes these shows need someone who is just unabashedly unaware.
Oh, that's a pretty way to say stupid. Okay.
She doesn't have a filter. And sometimes I feel like you need to have somebody who doesn't have a filter in order to have some real conversations. Because in real life, people gonna mess up, you know? So let's let them mess up. And we don't need so much... I don't want to say censorship, but I'm just saying I feel like we just need people that aren't going to be as pretty in terms of what they say and what they do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like once we can get back to that a little bit on Housewives, I feel like then the show can start shaking the table again on Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be opposed to like something like a Debrett and her new girlfriend, mm-hmm. or we talked about it, I think, in one of the last shows, maybe Lisa Rae situation. I think that's how it should be. Like, I don't necessarily want Lisa Rae on Housewives, but I think it would be good to have something unexpected. And I do think that Andy recently hinted towards that. He said that there's going to be more Housewives that are a part of the LGBTQI community. So that could be cool.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
You know what, though?
I just need people who are going to bring it.
There you go.
That's for sure.
There you go.
We going to bring it. Yeah.
Yeah, I need people who are going to bring it. And like Atlanta needs, I say it and I say it again. Like, I just don't think that, you know, if I have to be honest, I don't think that Drew and LaToya brought it the way that I wanted them to.
I mean, certainly not Drew.
They missed it.
Yeah, they just missed it. It's like, and then some random beef that would seem so fabricated about some minister that LaToya, you know what I mean? Like you
and
got
some
to,
bad wigs.
Yeah, but you got to beef. If you the new housewife, you got to beef with a major housewife.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be beefing with a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And you knew, you know what I'm saying? You need to go ahead and try to, you know, you're trying to blow Kenya's head off or something. Like, you know what I mean? You got to go for the gusto.
And you got to make it stick. You know? It can't be no tape recording.
Absolutely not. Right. And that's the whole point. Like, you got to have somebody like a Robin Givens or something that can make it stick, because these younger girls just don't have the confidence to come in and to deal with someone that is as calculated as Kenya is. You know, Kenya is, you know, regardless of people like her or not, or whatever the case may be, and some people saying that Portia, you know, is running the show, but no, it's actually Kenya. And you need somebody, Housewives of Atlanta, if Kenya is going to continue to stay on the show, they need somebody to come on the show and put her in her place. And I say that as a friend of Kenya, but it's just true. Like, what's good for the show Absolutely. Is outside of friendship. She needs to be put in her place.
Absolutely. Like, I agree.
Kenya needs somebody that can, you know, verbally give her back what she gives.
Yeah.
I was going to ask y'all if y'all felt like it needed to be somebody in their like late 40s or 50s, because I just sort of feel like experience shade is a little different than this mm-hmm. young shade. Y'all understand?
They don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't even know. Like, you know, the difference between it is like the young shade is like Pose. And the experienced shade is like Paris is Burning.
Mm.
That's what I'm trying to say. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people have, things have been so revamped and reused and reworked that they forget the source. And if they went back and knew the source, they could do it better. And it's the same thing with just like, you know, reading people. Like, I think now things, you know, social media and digital, this young generation, they just don't know how to read the same way because everything is so basic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not based up. Like, the best shade is based upon knowledge. The best shade is based upon.
And they don't know shit.
Right. Well,
nobody's taking the time to read.
They don't know shit. So they're just like, okay, girl, and then shut up. Or they repeat the same things back to people. Like, there's no effort. There's no anything. Yeah,
so that's what I'm saying. Like, if you can't have a show where the majority of the women are past a certain age and then you have one or two that are millennials and under. I think that they should just take it, like, they just go, you know, the route of
all the way,
just make it like a dynasty type of show where these, you know, wealthy women you know, read each other in ways that are very calculating and just, you know, you have to, I like reads. The best reads are like the next day I figured out what the person meant by
Thank
what they
you. Said. That's it right
you
there.
You know, that's why people want to be wanting to fight me, because I'd be saying some shit and they think about it the next day, that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Or the reads that only the other person intended will clock and everybody else just completely
exactly.
misses it.
That's a good
Those
one
are
too.
My favorite.
When Especially you read somebody and it's just like they only they can understand and everybody else think you being nice.
Or a read so, that yeah, you can't even be mad at.
It's true.
Yeah.
I can't even be mad and at then, that.
Then, that's just Got straight me, up facts. It's just that fact stuck. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I mean, I guess, you know, and then the Housewives of Beverly Hills. I mean, what are you guys thinking about this season with them? Like,
I love it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite franchises just because just the opulence. I love good white women drama just across the board. I do. something about it, because it's so like frivolous. It's like, damn, I wish I could get to a point where I was this rich and this old and I could argue about a dog and it would like move me to tears. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but you know that people in LA, you know, consider their dogs to be family members.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole situation.
Oh, me too. Oh, I am that person.
Yeah.
The
line is crossed when like I'm eating and I don't want to see 11,000 dogs around me eating too.
No, I don't. I hate that.
They were like, one day I was like sitting next to one and they were like, can I have some water? And the woman brought it out. She said, no, for my dog. I was like, oh my God. I was a waiter, I would throw that shit on the ground.
No, I hate dogs in restaurants. But then like when I'm out and I see one, I get kind of jealous. I'm like, oh, y'all didn't say we could bring our babies.
Mm-hmm. Like what happened at the reunion? Not the reunion, but the cast trip.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm out here having a nice brunch, looking around, you know, enjoying my drinks, whatever. And I see a cute dog and I'm like, oh, so we're bringing babies. Like, I didn't know this was that type of place. Mm-hmm. I would have brought mine had I could.
And is she addressing on The Housewives of Beverly Hills, is she addressing her divorce?
Who, Erica?
Mm-hmm. Is Erica addressing
Apparently
it?
Like, it's going to be driving the whole season.
Allegedly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, everybody talks about how honest they feel like she's going to be. And I just don't know if she's going to be as honest as I need her to be. Because I feel like from what I'm seeing in the news, I don't know how honest she can be. But
no, she's not. I mean,
because they're looking for that money. There's some money that's missing. And they think she has it.
She does. And but what I like about Erica is, I mean, I think it's very clear that she's going to use this as basically a legal defense. So she's going to give people just enough. She's going to be honest and crying. But we all know that it's going to be basically like a sanitized version of her truth. Right. Because when you're married to a lawyer for that many years, you don't really know any other way. And I'm sure she doesn't want to see all of his assets go down the fucking drain because she still needs to live off of.
Mm-hmm. But you know what bothers me about her is that she has survived on this show for all these years and given literally nothing. Like, nothing.
That's a chess master.
That's it? That's all you got to give? I mean, I can get that from Dorit at this point.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny? Like, Lisa, do you guys miss Lisa Vanderpump on the show?
Mm-mm. I do. That's a classy reader.
She is that Phaedra style reading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think she just got so, I don't know, it was interesting. I don't know. I just don't like how that played out with her at the end. It made me look at her differently, but I still kind of missed her elegance on the show. Like it gives it, I feel like it gave it a little like, you know, something.
It took it over
like
the top.
Mm-hmm. And I see them all the time in West Hollywood and I'm like, they are looking really frail. Both of them. I think Ken looked like he can barely make it down the street. Like, he literally, like, I saw him the other day walking by the Abbey to go to pump. And I was like, is he going to make it?
How old is he? I know he was like significantly older than her, too.
He's like, as my grandma used to say, he's old as Methuselah. You know?
As what?
Methuselah was supposedly the oldest man in the Bible.
Oh my God. How did
and
I
he
miss
was
that?
something about 10 score and something. I don't know. It's a lot of scores that was going on. But I just remember when my mom was at the end of my bed, it was something about, you know, Methuselah that my grandmama had told her. So I just thought it would work here. But I do think that, like, you know, it's just, but Lisa showed how to, when you leave in a show, how to spin off and do your own thing. You know, she still has, you know, Vanderpump Rules. She has a new show that's coming out on E. She has the dog show that's on Peacock. I feel like she could walk away from it. And I think it was definitely her decision to leave the show because she had these other things.
Yeah.
I think that's the blueprint, though. You know what I'm saying? I feel like you should have a plan for when you're going to, how long you want to stay on this show and the spinoffs or the ideas that you want to take from this and lead into other directions. So I feel like she played it smart. I just don't like that she didn't show up to the reunion.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
Yeah, I think her and Candy totally nailed it with what you should do with that type of a platform. You know, I don't think it gets any better than that.
And the thing is different. The thing is, you know, it's kind of, but I will say this, it's the difference between Candy and Lisa both came into the show with money. And that means you have a certain skill set that's going to, and also just a certain temperament that's going to allow you to be able to parlay in a different way than people who came into the show without certain things. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Without money like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because, you know, coming from things like you can see it just playing out in our, you know, society and everyday life is like, you know, people who, children who come from parents with money already have all this knowledge about how to make money and they already have the capital to make the money. And so I think that, you know, coming into housewives, you know, housewives that already have something, they have more of a strategy. They've already proven that they have a strategy about at least making money. They know how to get to some of the money and how and the whole machine is going to allow them to make more money. Mm-hmm. And so right. I think that Candy and Lisa had a different situation as opposed to someone like NeNe. You know, I do give NeNe a little bit of a leeway in that regard because she kind of, you know, was exposed to celebrity of this magnitude on the show. And, you know, she didn't have as much time to, you know, really be prepared for the exit strategy per se. Mm. And now
she has the Lanithia.
Exactly. But I did see that someone, people have been in my DMs saying to me why I had not said anything about Lanithia Lounge.
And what do they want you to say?
They said, B. Scott, will you report everything else as negative about NeNe? Why don't you say something good? And I will say something good right now. Congratulations.
You played yourself.
That's all I got.
Lanithia. Don't worry, I'll say it. Congratulations, you played yourself. I'll say it.
But you know, I mean, maybe people will come up in there and she'll make some money. I'm not
sure she
mad
got that good old PPP loan on that place and maybe it's gonna be okay for at least a couple years.
Listen, here's what I'm mad about. She drug Lisa or tried to. She attempted to drag Lisa and said, oh, mm-hmm. she stole her property or
she
you
told
know,
me that. Stuff. No, so it was, before that story even came out. NeNe told me that to my face. She told me that she had the idea in that pump location to do a space, like some type of space. She told Lisa Vanderpump that. And the first thing she knew, she looked up and she had the location.
That's what you get for people, your business.
Yeah. To me, that's also just a bunch of circumstantial information. Like, you know, basically like it's kind of like if you tell somebody about an opportunity and you don't have the money or the willingness to go ahead and move on it immediately, then you shouldn't have never told that person. You know what I mean? It's like I don't understand that. It's kind of like how, you know, Michael Jackson was talking to the man who won the guys from the Beatles and he shared with them about the catalog and the guy didn't have money to buy the catalog. And so Michael Jackson went and bought the Beatles catalog.
Oh, yes.
It's business.
Yeah.
It's straight up business.
Yeah.
Also,
but I mean, it's just, you know.
I speak about anything premature.
Can you imagine,
like
though? Hold on. Just stop the press for a second. Can you imagine if we had a Lanithia Lounge at the corner of Santa Monica and Robertson?
No, I can't because we wouldn't. Like, there's just no way in hell.
I would sell my house. I said, fuck, I cannot be in West Hollywood with this shit.
Well, there goes the neighborhood.
Oh, Deborah, what were you saying?
No, I was just saying that there just couldn't be. Like, I just, no.
Yeah.
No, nope. No.
Yeah, I think that, you know, unfortunately, if she were to play her cards right, I do believe that she would have had, she should have had, like, you know, multiple shows and spinoffs and been totally good. But,
NeNe,
you know, that's neither here nor there.
You know what? I think NeNe she was.
I mean, that could have been her show right there. The yeah.
I think what she was missing.
I think she's working on something. I'm hearing that she's doing something with that, though.
The show?
I don't know where it's going to go. Yeah. I think there's some type Probably of something Zeus. She's working. You know, there's something coming from her and the staff at Lanithia Lounge.
I would go to, if, I would go to Zeus TV. If I was
I
her.
I don't know.
I mean, listen.
I mean, that's the only remaining option, isn't it?
Hear me out. Okay, you go to Zeus, you parlay that onto WeTV like Jocelyn and Black China, and there you go. You're back on the network. Boom. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Or should you like? I think WeTV is like trash too. Like, they offer me a show, and I just couldn't do it for a multitude of reasons. I mean, including they want a percent of my entire business.
Are you serious?
A big percent.
Absolutely.
Oh,
huge,
no.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm not going to say too much, but I just see how certain things play out and, you know, people don't know the behind the scenes of situations, but I just think that, and WeTV don't got no money.
Right.
I mean, they don't pay you nothing. They pay you like Nathan. It pays you like, I mean, they can only pay you as much as people watch it, which is not that many people.
Right.
So, you know, and so, I mean, I think that maybe, you know, I don't know what Nene would do with the, you know, Lethea Lounge, but maybe she could somehow get back in some sort of favor with, I don't know. I just think that, you know, it might be a good show. I mean, I don't know. That's it. There you go. The people who've been DMing me, see, that's a positive thing. It might be a good show. I did it. Congratulations. And it might be a good show. Got two.
You know what stands out to me, though, y'all talking about Candy, is that she also has that industry pedigree. And what I mean by that is I feel like you go back to like the artists that I feel like a lot of us grew up listening to. So she came from Escape, and she understands, I believe, in my mind, how to work as a professional and be liked. Because there's a part of the, all of this that people have to like you in order to want to keep working with you, keep offering you opportunities. And so I feel like she understands that when she goes into these situations.
Smart people.
Absolutely. I mean,
who do I have to become in this situation to get the highest level of success? And she does that beautifully.
And Candy, I mean, people don't realize, I mean, she's been on the show. She was on the show starting the second season of the show. So she's basically now, given the housewives that have left, she's the longest, you know, she's been on more seasons of the Housewives of Atlanta than anybody else. So it's becoming arguable who made the show. You know what I mean? Like, because, I mean, honestly, I mean, Candy was right there. You know what I mean? Like, she was like the next season, the first season.
Who made, when you say who made the show, I think when people think about that franchise, they think about Nene, and that's something that we probably can't deny.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, but I think a lot of times that's how people tend to think about things that way. But people don't think about the glue. Candy's the glue. Candy's the one that's been there as people come and go. She's a neutral party. She's not giving you too much or too little. No, other than last season. I mean, she gave me a little.
She's consistent.
You know, it wasn't that. And then the reunion, they didn't even give her a package at the reunion, did they?
I don't think they did.
She didn't even get a package. She don't think she got a package. Which means, for Love Muffins who don't know, but the package is basically like a montage of your moments throughout the season. So she didn't get that. But needless to say, she's been there for so long. And so, yes, a big personality like Nene would be the person that some would associate me, like, made the show. But I could, there's an argument for the glue. There's an argument for a slow and steady. And, you know, Candy had her moments of, she amped on them. I remember early on when her and Nene got into it, she was like, you need to bring it on down.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it on down. I was like, yes, Candy, you better tell Nene. Remember that? When she had a little, she had, I don't know what that banging was doing. It was like a spike bang.
I love that. The little like woodpecker thing.
Yeah, like, it's like a Sonic the Hedgehog.
The cockatoo, whatever. Yeah, that.
It was that.
And you know, there was a moment with, I see you, I see you. Yeah, we see each other.
Absolutely. And she meant that.
And the slumber party.
Yeah, you can't talk. Do not talk about her mama, please. Do not.
No. Oh, no. Oh, man.
The thing that gets me, though, is when Candy gets to crying or she gets upset, that voice starts to crack. Ooh, it bothers me.
Oh, we have that in common.
Your voice gets to crack.
Yes, I get so mad that I can't even get the fucking words out. I start shaking and quivering, so I gotta go calm down and then come back and cuss people out.
Yeah, I just get loud.
That initial build
or physical. So that's why I don't do well.
That's why my voice quivers.
Yeah,
I'm holding everything else back.
Y'all gotta take a page out of Candy's book.
Yeah, that is funny. I love it. When Kenya and Portia got into it, Kenya just fell right with it. She just like, she grabbed her hair, she went right down with it. She was like, I'm just letting go. She went to the safety of the floor. She was like, I'm going down.
She leaned into it.
She did like a tuck and roll.
Person I've ever seen. She's so composed when she will read. No matter how angry she gets, she remains like, her composure is always intact.
And that's why people get aggressive with her, because she's just, you know, she's really smart. And I think that she needs another girl on the show that's like that. I don't know. I mean, it may not be a Robin Givens. I don't think they can afford her, but somebody got to come because we just can't have another, we can't have another season like last season, even though they do get some grace because it was COVID. I just think the last season was just wrong. Thank God that Kenya made such a big thing about Strippergate because they would have nothing else.
Right.
Right.
There would have been nothing else to do.
That's all we would have had to go off of. And that honestly is not enough, in my opinion.
And I just don't, personally, I've already got all the information about, I know everything I need to know about the Portia Simon situation. I do not want a whole new season of The Housewives of Atlanta to be just about that.
Now see, I don't know. I don't know about it.
You want the whole season to be about that?
I
don't want
the whole season to be about it. I don't like a whole season about one subject. No, don't give me that. Mm-hmm. Give me a couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. Give me the scandal of it all. And then if y'all want to bring in Fallon to give us her perspective, go ahead and do so. Because I feel like they set this up for her to come on the show.
Absolutely. Potentially. Because we would need some... It's kind of like when somebody gets up in church and speaks in tongues, you need an interpreter. So we need Fallon to come and interpret.
Exactly.
Speaking in tongues. You know what I'm saying? It's like, because to me, it's just like, I don't know. It's just, I kind of feel like what Lotto said. Lotto posted something in her Insta story and she was like, you know, come over here, you know, pulling a Porsche and I'll give your family something to do next week.
Funeral.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I go back to
because you're taking it too far. Like I don't play like that. Like I came, like I had you in my house.
That's what I'm.
And
yes,
I had you in my house. You were in my pool. You were splashing that big donkey in my pool in front of my man. And you then later on, a couple months, took my man. Baby, I mean, people are brazen and bold, and they can make up any type of narrative they want. But just on. It ain't even face value. It's just like, to me, it's just like people now just don't, there's no parameters for anything.
Right.
And there's going to be a fan base. Porsha fan base is like, well, shit, let her do her thing and da 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 da. And, you know, it's like.
No, you know, I'm a Porsha fan. I am. But even this, I'm like, no. We were all rooting for you. All you had
we
to do
was rooting
come.
For you.
Yes. All you had to do was exit this season, and that's it. You was already coming back. You didn't need to do all this.
Mm-mm. It was a lot. It's very stank. It's very stank. I don't care. You know, I don't know. These one of the things where it's like, it's cute until it happens to you. Mm-hmm. And you just got married, right? Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So if somebody came, you know, it's like if I came over and was ducking my ass in your pool and first thing you know, I done took your mate.
See?
Uh-uh. Wouldn't that be a problem?
Problemo.
It would be no more B. Scott, huh?
No. And I keep wondering, how is Fallon dealing with this? What is she thinking about it?
I think
it's a public of it all for her and for me as well, because their relationship has been on the outs and you know, and it was what it was. But when you start getting everybody else involved, I think that's when the problem, you know, starts to, you know, it's a thing now, you know, I can't hide this. I can't lie about it. And now how she moves is really going to determine, in my opinion, how her mental state is really gonna, you know, fare in all of this shit. She got three to four boys to really raise, and they're young kids, they're young boys. So imagine going to school and this is what you gotta deal with. You gotta come home and your kids talking about this shit. So for me, I don't know that she's gonna come back. I think they're setting it up for her too, but based on the simplicity of her personality, and how peaceful I know her to be. Like everything's all about the energy, the universe, people like that.
And just to give Richie some perspective on this. You were in Mexico. Getting proposed to, and at the same time that you were busting it, Fallon was there busting it with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So y'all saw each other in the club or something, and then y'all had drinks together. Because you know what? I'm also starting to see something too with you, Dominique. That's why I got to keep you around, is because you are always in the middle of something. you are somebody, you like when Whitney Houston said, you better lay low. You are somebody that's always in the middle of something. I got to keep my eye on you, and I did not expect it.
Right, of all people.
What's
like,
the odds of you in Mexico busting it open? What's the odds of you about to be in the lingerie league and you met Cordell? Like, you are just, oh my goodness.
Like, why though?
You are the news. You are the news. You are the, like, they might even add you to the housewives so we can figure out what the hell is going on.
That's just tight. I mean, you know, my other half, my fiance, she would absolutely give them what the fuck they want and they would not be ready for her. She, on the other hand, could go toe to toe with Kenya, but you know, we ain't got no storylines. We just out here living our regular degular. But anyway, that would be very entertaining. But yeah, I don't see Fallon really taking this fishing line. I would be very surprised. I don't know. Y'all can tell me if you feel different based on how you see her personality to be. But I don't think there's,
I don't know. She might not have no other choice. I mean, if the check is running out and Bravo hands you a check, even if it's a little check, as Monique describes the checks for first time housewives, you know, I don't see how she could necessarily deny it. Do you guys think she would deny a check at Bravo?
No.
She shouldn't. Know.
I can see Bravo trying it as a friend of the show. I think they're going to bring her on.
I would see a friend too.
Yeah, they're going to put a situation. Cool. And you already seen how combustible she can be. She went after old girl with a golf club,
God,
right?
Yes, golf club? Yes.
Right. Yeah. So like, I don't think that she would just sit back and let Portia control the narrative of what happened.
Thank you. That would be disrespect to me.
That's my thing. She just can't. She would turn away the microphone.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But I definitely feel how Richie feels about Portia. It's like, she didn't need to do this because before she did this, I had just said, even though people think that I'm not supportive of Portia because of Kenya, and that's not true. I've said that how she has transformed from the first season that she was on the show to where she is today is nothing short of remarkable. Mm-hmm.
She went from Underground Railroad
to, she is absolutely really funny on her radio show and also on Housewives at certain moments. She's very funny.
Yeah.
Like, she has like this comedic quality and this improv on her feet type of stuff. I think the radio show maybe even helped her with Housewives because doing radio and podcasts, whatever, helps you be good on your feet. And she brought that to the show. Like, she's like a different woman than when she first started. Mm-hmm.
Both physically and in personality.
Absolutely. Somebody said the other day, she was like, she was sitting somewhere next to him, said she looked like she's sitting on a suitcase. I said, baby. And he was sitting there looking like, who done it and why? Like, he was looking like it was like Groundhog's Day. It was like, can I stay outside or not? Do I need to go back in? But on that note, you know, we have talked about all of the Housewives for over an hour now. And I want to thank everybody for stopping out tonight. I want to thank you so much, Richie, for stopping by the show. I want you to tell people where they can find you. I know that you have your own YouTube channel, your own podcast. Give them all the information.
Follow me on YouTube at DJ Richie Sky, on Instagram at DJ Richie Sky, and on Podcast One, DJ Richie Sky Unfiltered. And I just want to say thank you so much for having me. I had a ball. I got some revelations tonight from all of y'all. It was everything.
Yes. And I can't wait to have you back. You know, we're going to, you know, have you on to give us the lowdown on all the things you're hearing, because, you know, your ears to the streets too. Like, you in them, you know, I don't know about now, you married, so you might get to stay home, but
I'm watching them from afar.
Yes. And I will say this. It feels good to see someone that I had interacted with and that you are doing so well and that you have such a good energy about you. And I really appreciate that. It's been a lot of people who say they're supportive of me, but then don't really have good energy. You're the type of person that has been supportive and you've always had good energy, and don't ever lose that.
You know what? Okay? I just want to say thank you. And I also want to say this before we go. For me, you were one of the people that gave so many of us permission to be ourselves. And, you know, you never forget stuff like that. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Oh, I received that. Oh, that touched me good. I was like, wow, he's going to get me crying at the end of the show. Help us, Lord. But of course, also thank Denver, Dominique, and Walker, and Brian, as always. I know, Denver, you said today or yesterday you recorded a new episode of your podcast.
Oh, yeah. I went out over the weekend. Let's Have a Drink with Denver Sean. It's everywhere. You can find it. It is out.
Mm-hmm. And your Instagram and your everything is what?
Oh, yeah. It's Denver Sean, no vowels, DNVRSN. It's Twitter, Instagram, just.denver. And I think that's everything.
There it is. And then Dominique, you got a radio show, right? What's going on with you?
I do. I have Morning Kiss with Dom Blake here. You can catch it on the stream by PPBC app and on Kiss 105.3 FM. We're in a whole bunch of markets. Our sister company is actually Ricky Smiley's company out in Atlanta. What is that? V103? Anywho, so yeah, we are broadcast mates. So yes, you can find me on Instagram at Dominique V. Blake, and come for the tea, come for the wine, come for all of the above. And
yes. And then I saw Walker, you were, you know, shaving your face and some things on Instagram. So you got some things you need to promote. So let them know about your Instagram. You know, where can they find you?
You know, actually, all they need to do is you can find me at lovebscott.com. Come and click, 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 click.
Oh, and until next time, love muffins, double kisses. Bye-bye.
Methuselah lived to the age of 969 years old. And he was also the grandfather of Noah from Noah's Ark.
Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.